Welcome to the Remedy Church Podcast. We're coming to you from Waxahachie, Texas, and you can find out more about us at www.remedy-church.com. Our great hope and prayer for this is that God speaks to you through this message.
Amen. You can have a seat. I want to say welcome again. My name is Brian Wooten. I serve as one of the elders here, and we are going to dismiss our super awesome Remedy kids and their teachers and their helpers. Kids, we love you a lot. We hope you have a great day learning about Jesus as we do the same here. I would invite you to turn to Psalm 119. We have been all summer, the last several weeks, walking through Psalm 119, a couple stanzas at a time each week. And I don't know about you, it's been good for my soul to kind of let Psalm 119 wash over and over us again as we see these repeated themes and rhythms. And so what I want to do to get us started is go ahead and look at the text together. If you need a copy of God's Word, we've got one over by the offering table, whether you've got a hard copy or a digital copy. We want to get our eyes and our minds on the Word. We're going to start in Psalm 119, verse 97. So we're just over the halfway point. We're going to read 97 through 112. And then I want to pray for us, and then we're going to dive in together. So let's look at God's word, Psalm 119, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandment makes me wiser than my enemies, for it is ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, for I keep your precepts. I hold back my feet from every evil way in order to keep your word. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. Your testimonies are my heritage forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I incline my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. Would you pray with me? Father, we together, as we just sang with one voice, with our hearts and minds now, I pray ready and attentive to sit and listen to you. Speak to us through your living and active word. Would we have a posture of humble, contrite hearts who tremble at your word? Would you use our time together this morning to conform us to the image of Jesus? Would you be our help? Spirit, would you empower the word to run swiftly in our hearts and minds? And all God's people said, amen. Okay, we're going to do a little bit of review because we've been walking through Psalm 119 for just a minute, okay? So this is like Bible trivia quiz time. We can do a little bit of talk back. Psalm 119, okay, has how many stanzas? Come on. 22, in accordance with what? Hebrew alphabet, okay? 22, each verse, each stanza has how many verses? 8. 22 times 8 is? 176, okay, so that's a lot. It's a alphabetic acrostic poem, okay? Every letter of the Hebrew alphabet and then each corresponding verse kind of flowing, starting with that letter. And so we're right just past the halfway point in Psalm 119. One important thing that we've talked about is really wanting to model for you from as we teach and preach through Psalm 119. What does it mean to grow in our ability to handle the Word of God rightly, to understand how to practice observation, interpretation, application correctly? And really, sing over and over again. Like, think about your favorite song that you like to sing a lot. You know the words pretty easily, right? It kind of washes over you, especially worship songs that, like, resonate deeply. The theme of Psalm 119 that we've seen over and over again are the Word of God and the ways of God. Over and over again repeated for us. And really, the psalmist that's writing this is looking back to really the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and going, man, in light of God's word, in light of God's ways, in light of who he is, here's how the psalmist is responding in Psalm 119. So we just want to say again clearly that in the midst of that, there is an underlying Christ-centered peace to everything that we see in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms. So we've said this before, but it's worth saying again, that the Word of God and the ways of God point us to the Son of God. So we just want to be really clear with that. Everything that we see here is pointing us to Christ. And we see this in Luke 24, 44 and 45. He said to them, Jesus said, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. So don't miss that. Everything written about who? Jesus. All through the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled. And then I love this in verse 45. He opened their minds to understand the scriptures. So this is how we pray. Jesus, would you open our minds to understand the scriptures today? Would you give us understanding and wisdom? We've said this before, but again, to say it one more time, Psalm 119 points us to Jesus and the glory of the gospel. The man of Psalm 119 is Jesus. He's the future hope that the psalmist was looking to and remembering even the Torah, the God's word and God's ways in the start of the Bible. It's all pointing to Jesus. So what we're going to do is we challenged ourselves. How are we doing with our scripture memory verses? Good. Y'all are looking at me like, okay. We challenged. Don't shake your head. We can do it. Okay. Hey, we challenged ourselves to memorize one verse from each stanza as we go. Okay. So I want to kind of catch us up. We're gonna roll through these. If you have the app and you can get the sermon notes, don't try to keep up now, but these are all in the notes, or if you want me to email them to you, I will. But let's as we go through these verses, let's not just look at them. I'm gonna ask us to say them out loud together, okay? But these are prayers. These are prayers for our souls, for the hearts of our church family. So let's just rehearse these together, okay? We good? Okay. Verse 7. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. Let's say it together. I will praise you with an upright heart when I learn your righteous rules. So that's just a prayer. God, would you help us to praise you with an upright heart? Verse 11, I've stored up your... let's do this. Let me practice. Y'all just say it with me. I won't repeat it twice. We good? Okay, y'all ready? Here we go. I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. So just pause. God, would you help me to store up your word in my heart that I won't sin against you? Next, verse 18. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. And still hear our kids saying that when they were this big, okay? Right? God, help us open our eyes that we may behold wondrous things. Verse 30, I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before me. Again, pray that for your brothers and sisters in the room, that we would choose the way of faithfulness. Verse 37, turn my eyes from looking at worthless things and give me life in your ways. Just a personal prayer that God would graciously grab our head and turn our eyes from worthless things. Verse 41, let your steadfast love come to me, O Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Okay, what an awesome prayer. God, would your steadfast love come to me, your salvation. Okay, keep going, you're doing good. Verse 54, your statutes have been my songs in the house of my sojourning. This is why we sing the Psalms. We sing the scriptures. Okay, and I love that verbiage, the house of our sojourning. Verse 59, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. Just pray that. Man, God, as we're making decisions and thinking about things, would we turn our feet to your testimonies? Verse 71, it is good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Y'all got quiet on me on that one. Let's do that one again. It's good that for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes. Man, in the sovereignty of God, let's let that settle, right? that we would pray that way. Next, verse 76, let your steadfast love comfort me according to your promise to your servant. Praise God that his steadfast love would comfort us. Verse 81, my soul longs for your salvation. I hope in your word. Just pray that for us this morning, that we would hope in the word. Verse 92, if your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. Isn't that beautiful? If his law was not our delight, our joy, we would have perished. And then we'll see this today, verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Don't miss that exclamation point. Oh, how I love your law. And then verse 105, that was just really the theme for this whole series. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Good job, Remedy family. So, hey, let's encourage each other, missional communities, in our individual conversations. How you doing with memorizing each verse out of Psalm 119? Let's press on to know the Lord this way. Let's hide the word in our hearts and minds. Okay, as we go back to verse 97, we're going to, again, practice and model what does it mean to make observations, interpretations. And remember, interpretation is not what do I think it means to me in real time. What did the original hearers hear when they heard this psalm? What was the author's intent as he was really looking back? And I really want you to think about, go backwards. This is why it's so important to know our Bibles and to read the Old Testament. Think about creation, fall, flood, Exodus, wilderness. Just like pause and mentally go back to some of those key stories. There's a lot. Creation, fall, flood, Exodus, wilderness. Okay, so we've gone back in our minds. I can see your eyes rolling. Okay, we're good. Okay, think about all the stuff that happened in those first five books. It's a lot, okay? So in light of that, now we want to hear what is the psalmist saying to us? What is God saying through the writer to his people in real time as we make observations together? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. It's so fascinating. All through these eight verses, a little bit of a change as we get to the middle part of Psalm 119. It's really what, when we're looking for observation, it's not just what we see, it's what we don't see. And what we don't see throughout these first eight verses for us today is we don't see any petitions. We don't see the psalmist asking for anything. He's just making these awesome declarations about who God is, his word and his ways, but he's not asking for anything. So we don't see petitions, we only see declarations. And it just makes me go, when you see verse 97, what makes him talk like that? Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Like, think about getting out, standing on your rooftop and saying something, okay? Like, here he is. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So we think about what elicits that type of reaction. We see in Psalm 97 a love for the law. And then look in verse 103. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. We see this love and satisfaction. I actually went last night, looking over my notes, I got a spoon, went to the pantry, got a thing of honey, and just like filled it up. Anybody done this recently? And I was like, I'm gonna practice what I'm preaching here, and I'm just gonna like take a spoonful of honey, okay? It's good. And I was drinking coffee, I will confess, okay? But, like, I gave my palate time just to absorb the honey. It's rich. It's satisfying. It stayed with me for a minute. It made me want to go back and get a little bit more. So think about this. Oh, how I love your law. And then how sweet are your words to my what? Taste. Sweeter than honey to my mouth. So one just initial observation as we see this that the people of God would be hearing is consistent consumption of the scriptures produces soul-satisfying love for God. Consistent consumption of the scriptures produces soul-satisfying love for God. As they're looking back, okay, and remembering the ways in the word of God, think about it. The psalmist turning back and looking back at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, all of these things, and going, oh, how awesome is our God. How great is his faithfulness. How great is his mercy. How good has he been to us. He has extended his loving kindness to us. They see his holiness. And in the midst of that, this consistent consumption of the scriptures produces soul-satisfying love for God. That's why the psalmist would say, oh, how I love your law. And it reminds us, taste and see what? That the Lord is good. And so we see this love and satisfaction piece. But then there's some repeated words in the first eight verses. We see the word meditation twice. In verse 99, your testimonies are my meditation. Also in verse 97, it's my meditation all the day. We see the word understand or understanding three different times in those eight verses in this stanza. I have more understanding than all my teachers. Okay? Through your precepts, I get understanding in verse 104. Okay, so we see these repeated words of understand, understanding as well. And then we see the word keep twice. Okay? So there's a meditating on, an understanding of, and then a keeping, holding to God's word in the midst of these repeated phrases that we see in the first eight verses. And what's interesting here is look at the bookends. Look at look at verse 97 and verse 104. Oh, how I love your law, one bookend, and go to 104. Through your precepts I get understanding, therefore I what? What does it say? I hate every false way. So these bookends of loving the law and hating every false way. It's interesting, right? Love and hate on either side of this stanza. So we'll see this later in verse 160. The sum of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous rules endures forever. So the love of the law is a love for the truth of God's word. And then he's saying, I hate every false way. So love for the truth of God's law, his word and his ways, equals hatred for false and deceptive ways. That'd just be a clear observation that the original hearers would have made in the midst of this. If we love the truth of God's law, that means we hate every false and deceptive way. As I was thinking back, like, go back to the Ten Commandments, round one. Remember what happened? Moses comes down with God's word and God's ways. He comes down, and what does he find? Dumpster fire. Idol worship, debauchery. And he did what with the Ten Commandments? Right? Like, righteous anger, righteous hatred for sin. So a love for God's law equals a hatred for false and deceptive ways. It's not on the screen, but Psalm 4:4, be angry and do not sin. There's a biblical hook for that. We can be righteously angry and not sin. So Moses in that moment, he was done modeling the righteous indignation of the Lord. So they see this love of the law, hatred for deceptive and false ways. And again, in the middle part of this stanza, we see these interesting statements. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies. I have more understanding than all my teachers. I understand more than the aged or the aged, the elders. I hold back my feet from every evil way. I don't turn aside from your rules. Okay? So in this middle section, these repeated words again, meditation, understanding, keeping, it's interesting. You could look at this, tone matters, right? Like, you ever send a text that just doesn't land because you can't read? Y'all are laughing at me. Don't do it, okay? If you ever need to send a text like that, don't send the text. Have a conversation. That's a side note, okay? But you ever read a text where you can't interpret tone and like you're like, did they say it like this? Or they say it like this, right? So when we read this text, like, tone matters. Is he like beating his chest going, I'm wiser than everybody else. I've got it all figured out. Let me just tell you, I have all this understanding. I don't think so at all. That's not the tone. The tone here is, by God's grace, there's wisdom, there's discernment, there's understanding. tethered to his obedience to the scriptures. And he's just acknowledging this reality that wisdom, understanding, and protection come from knowing, loving, and keeping the word. Just a biblical hook we hang that on. Wisdom, understanding, and protection come from knowing, loving, and keeping the word. So if you're looking back at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, which story do you want to pick for this one? Just go to the garden. Wisdom, understanding, and protection come from what? Knowing, loving, and keeping. Did Adam and Eve keep the word? Did they exercise wisdom? No. Did they lose their protection? Yes. Would the Bible call them foolish in that moment? Absolutely. And you could pick 20 other stories in the first five books to illustrate that. So this is principle. Wisdom, understanding, and protection come from knowing, loving, and keeping the word. Now we go down to the next stanza, starting in 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. It's just so beautiful, the picture, the imagery here. So there's a, think about if you're walking, okay, we don't have good lantern. Anybody use a lantern? Anybody still use these? We're flashlight people. We're phone flashlight people, okay? But think about you're walking. Like, there's an immediacy to, like, taking a step. There's a small circle. Then there's, like, a holding it up, looking long term. Like, which way are we headed? And you see that both of these here, your word is a lamp to my feet, but also a light to my path. So initially, God's word illumines the next steps of his people. The psalmist is acknowledging this. It's a lamp to my feet. The immediate next steps, God's word illumines the next steps of his people. Like, again, you look back and go, like, let's look at Noah. Noah, build the ark. What? Okay, don't just build the ark. Build the ark like this. Very detailed. Like, he didn't have to worry about, like, what his next step was. It was all laid out for him. So there was clear instruction that God gave Noah in the midst of that. And this is one of our memory verses, but verse 59, when I think on my ways, I turn my feet to your testimonies. I love it. Like, I've got an idea. Like, Noah's, here's the word, build the ark. Okay, well, what are we going to do? Like, maybe I'll go do this. No. Here's exactly how you're going to do it. I turn my feet to do exactly what the Lord says. So there's an immediacy to the next steps that God's providing wisdom for through his word. But God's word also directs God's people in God's way. So there's a lamp to my feet, but a light to my path. And here's where we would go back to the wilderness days. Remember? Pillar of fire and the what? The cloud. And let me just, small encouragement. We, a lot of times, defer to maybe New Testament. We need to saturate ourselves in the New Testament. But if we don't know these Old Testament stories, you're missing out. So comprehensively, let's saturate our minds with Old and New Testament. But God led his people through a pillar of fire and a cloud. Well, where are we going today? This there it is. And it wasn't just right here. It's like, we're going over that mountain. Like think about a horizon. There's the pillar in the cloud. We're going that way. There's a long-term directedness to that. So God directs his people. God's word directs God's people in God's ways. Listen to Proverbs 14:12. There is a way that seems right to man or a woman, but its end is the way to death. Happy Sunday. Your best ideas, my best ideas, apart from the word of God and the ways of God, lead to what? Death. So let's take the word of the day. Follow your heart. And let's take a 20 gauge and yell pull and let's just shoot it. That's horrible theology. So unloving. Our heart is wicked apart from the Spirit of God. There's a way that seems right to a man. It's the end. It leads to death. And then I love this in Isaiah 30. Listen to this. Verse 20. Although the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, But don't miss, the Lord gives those things. He allows them. Yet your teacher, capital T, will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your, capital T, teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the what? Right or to the left? Isn't that beautiful? So there's a directedness to God's word for us. Lamp and a light. Look at verse 107. I am severely afflicted. Give me life according to your word. So we just say God's word sustains God's people in the midst of suffering. You look back through those first five books of the Bible, you're going to see a lot of trials, tribulation, suffering. Some of the, because of their own sin, and some because of the sovereign hand of the Lord allowing it. So the psalmist would say here, looking back, going, I am severely afflicted. Give me life, O Lord, according to your word. So the Lord is faithful. The Lord is good. But all throughout the scriptures, we see affliction and suffering marking his people. And the psalmist here is acknowledging it. So God's word sustains God's people in the midst of suffering. Just go like, where would you go? If you time stamp, again, even the book of Job, right? Probably written earlier than where it lands in the canon, okay? But Job, his family is taken away. Like, they're dead. His property is destroyed. And what does Job say? The Lord gives, and the Lord takes away. What did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Who talks like that? People who know and love the Lord. So there's this reality that the Lord sustains his people in the midst of suffering through his word. And I love, look at verse 109 and 110. I hold my life in my hand continually, but I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. So you see this, I don't forget and I don't stray. So again, this would be a good encouragement. This is why we want to hide God's word in our heart. We want to remember. We want to memorize. We want to meditate on the scriptures. I don't forget your law. But then in the midst of wickedness laying a snare, I don't stray from your precepts. Okay? I have a squirrel problem at my house. I don't like them. You know me. If you're in my missional community, you know this. I'm not going to say anything on a podcast that will indict me with the local authorities. Okay, but I initially got this trap. It's called the Squirrelinator. You can buy one at Atwoods. Okay, it's a snare. It's a live trap. I put bait in it, and man, I caught lots of squirrels. It works. Okay, but the whole thing is to lure them into the what? Trap. Okay, so when you see this snare, the wicked have laid. I'm not wicked by keeping rodents out of my house. Okay. The wicked have laid a snare for me, but I do not stray from your precepts. So it's this really clear reminder. In the midst of remembering, not forgetting the law, I also don't take the bait, if you will. I don't stray from anything that the enemy or wickedness would lay in front of him, of the one writing here. So God's people, remembering God's word, are protected from wickedness. This is just an easy observation and interpretation if you're the original hearers of this text. God's people remembering God's word are protected from wickedness, from the snare. Where would we go here in the first five books? Where would your mind go? Lots of examples here. Okay? Remember Sodom and Gomorrah? Just go read it. It's devastating. Our hearts should be grieved. Go read it. The end of Genesis. The verse that came to mind is, remember Lot's wife. Remember in the midst of all the just putrid wickedness, ungodliness in Sodom and Gomorrah. God told Lot, you go and do not what? Don't you turn back. Stay away. And Lot's wife is like, and she turned to what? pillar of salt. So there's a remembering God's word, keeping God's word, protecting us from wickedness. So we need the Spirit of God and the Word of God to birth these things in us. Why did that happen to Lot? Why not his wife? It's just to remember Lot's wife. Look at verse 106. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. That sounds very like, oh, I've sworn, okay? But I don't swear on anything, right? Okay, but I've sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. That's 106. And then look at 112. I incline my heart to perform your statutes. So here's a keeping language and performing language. It's interesting, right? See both of these together. So God's people desire to exercise obedience to God's word, keeping and performing. It's not enough that they would just hear God's word. It's that they would actually act on God's word. It's not just that they would be passive hearers. They would be active doers. And so, again, pick your first five books of the Bible story. God's people desire to exercise obedience to God's word. Remember Joseph when he was in Egypt? And Potiphar's wife pursuing him aggressively? He had God's word, God's holiness, God's character, God's picture of marriage. I'm not going to sleep with a woman who is not my wife. I'm not going to commit adultery. He acted in what? Obedience. And so God's people remember God's word and they're protected from wickedness. And they also desire to exercise obedience to God's word as they keep and perform it. Look at verse 108. Accept my freewill offerings of praise, O Lord, and teach me your rules. So here we see this freewill offering of praise. And then verse 111, your testimonies are my heritage forever. I love this. They are the what? Joy of my heart. So praise, freewill offerings of praise, they are the joy of my heart. God's word produces joy in the hearts of his people. We see that. And secondly, coupled with that, praising God flows from joy in God. Okay? So God's word produces joy in the hearts of his people, and praising God flows from joy in God. Again, you could go to a lot of places here. I was just thinking back to Jacob wrestling with the Lord. Go read that story. And at the end of that, he walked away with a limp. Okay? But after that, the Lord renamed him. You're no longer going to be Jacob, I'm going to call you Israel. And then he set up a pillar and worshiped, and he called that place Bethel, where God had spoken to him. The word of God, praise of God, worship of God, joy in God. Praising God flows from a joy in God. And then verse 112, the last four words. Forever. I've got a comma to the end. I've got a little note in my Bible. Gives us a little bit more clarity from the translators. Literally, the reward is eternal. So there's this long view looking that God's people are looking towards future glory. It's not just about here and now. It's about what is coming. And they were looking towards future glory. And again, you go like, man, where do we go to think about this? Remember Moses? All Moses, right? Okay. All that Moses had done, he'd been faithful. Moses was not perfect. He had consequences for his sin. And one of those was what? Not going in the promised land. But the Lord was so gracious. Go read the end of it, okay? They're in the land of Moab. They're on the brink of the promised land. And God says, go and look at, just go look at it. You think Moses was like, what was his posture? What was his tone? Was he shaking his fist at the Lord? Or was he open-handed and just going, man, Lord, I see it. I see it. You're good. If you read that verse, it literally says all of his vigor was this, like, he had not lost any of his strength, okay, but he died on that mountain, okay? So in the midst of that, he was looking towards future glory, and the Lord let him see it, and the Lord was gracious in that. So if we think about these big themes of creation, fall, redemption, restoration, the big meta narrative of the scriptures, really the main point we want to grab today as we observe and interpret that the people of God would have taken away from this text is that God leads his people in his ways as they love and obey his word. God leads his people in his ways as they love and obey his word. As they were looking back at Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Torah, as they were looking back, they would be reminded that God leads his people in his ways as they love and obey his word. Oh, how I love your law. Verse 111, they are the joy, your testimonies are the joy of my heart. And so we move from observation, interpretation, and now we're ready for what? Application. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for us as we are the people of God, hearing the word of God together? What are some applications we would draw? And so as we make applications, a reminder, remember the gospel. As we walk through some of these questions, let's remember the gospel. As we apply these things, we're on the other side of the cross. We know that all of the Psalms are Christ-centered. They're pointing us to Jesus. So let's remember the gospel. Number one, is my life marked by a consistent consumption of the scriptures that is producing soul-satisfying love for God? Is my life marked by a consistent consumption of the scriptures that is producing soul-satisfying love for God? We say this a lot in our church family, like, how is your soul? And I would lovingly say to us, we are consuming. I'm going to say this about me. Let me say this about me. I consume a bunch of junk if I think about my week. Ultimate conviction, sports radio. I'll just say it, okay? Not Christ exalting. I enjoy it, but it's just, at the end of the day, it's junk. Is my life marked by a consistent consumption of the scriptures that is producing what? Soul-satisfying love for God. Philip said this when he prayed for us. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. We say this all the time. If our hearts were a sponge, and we had the bucket out here this morning, and we were to come up one by one and wring our hearts out, how much scripture would fill the bucket? How much of God's word and God's ways would fill that bucket? So we want to be saturating our hearts and minds that the word of Christ would dwell in us richly. Secondly, does my life display a love for the truth of God's law, his word and his ways, that equals hatred for false and deceptive ways? Now stay with me here. Brian, are you saying we should be hating people? Not what the scripture says. Okay? Does my life display a love for the truth of God's law, which we would say yes and amen to, that equals a hatred for false and deceptive ways? You should be righteously disturbed by sin. We should not see a car wreck, if you will, or a train wreck of someone's life and just drive by and go, it's not my deal. We should be grieved by our own sin and the sin around us and the sin that is in the midst of our broken world. We should be grieved, and in the light of the holiness of God, we should be righteously angry. There is a hook to hang that on. Does not change the fact that we don't love people. But love rejoices with the truth. Let's tell them the truth. Let's go to them and plead with them. Please, in the mercy of the Lord, stop sinning. Repent and believe the gospel. Like, Don't believe the lie of the culture that says, just be nice and love Jesus and have a good life and we'll see you in heaven. That's not biblical. We need to be watchmen on the wall going, this is evil. This is wicked. This is not okay. So in the mercy of the Lord, I'm praying that God would give us a backbone. That in grace and in love and in truth, that we would, boots on the ground, incarnate the gospel in people's lives and go, in the mercy of the Lord, stop. So love for the law, hatred for false and deceptive ways. There's a tension that we live in there, but Remedy Family, we can do it. Next, am I experiencing wisdom, understanding, and protection that comes from knowing, loving, and keeping the word? Am I experiencing wisdom, understanding, protection that comes from knowing, loving, and keeping the word? Like, this is just a good, like, in the weeds, how's your life walking with Jesus question. Are you listening? Are you understanding? Are you being protected from in the midst of knowing, loving, and keeping? Next, how is God's word illuminating the next steps in my life? Okay, remember, it's a lamp to my feet. How is God's word illuminating the next steps in my life? A lot of us are trying to take a next step, and we're not stopping long enough to seek the heart of the Lord through his word. Like, pause, hit the pause button. Don't take a step. Wait. Proverbs 4:18. But the path of the righteous is like the light of dawn, which shines brighter and brighter until the full day. The way of the wicked is like what? Deep darkness. They do not know over what they stumble. Some of us are on the ground right now because we've stumbled, because we did not seek the word and the ways of God. And we need to not just get up and keep moving. We need to stop and go, okay, I'm not going to do that again. I'm going to seek counsel. I'm going to hear from the scriptures. I'm going to talk to my church family. Okay? We don't want to be foolish or wicked. We want to be wise and holy and righteous in our steps. John 8:12, Jesus said to them, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Praise God. He's the light of the world. Let's follow him and not walk in darkness. Next, how is God's word shaping the trajectory of my life? This is the light to my path. This is the long-term trajectory. How are the word of God and the ways of God, like, conforming you to the image of Jesus? And what trajectory is he setting you on for the glory of Christ? Next, is God's word sustaining my soul in the midst of suffering, trials, and temptation? Aaron said this the other day. We've been surprised from a preaching standpoint how much suffering is incorporated into Psalm 119, and I would agree with that. And in our church family, we have brothers and sisters who are walking particular roads of suffering and trials, and the Lord is sustaining them. He's sustaining you. He's doing it. And I would just, as a word of loving admonition to each of us, may we not try to satisfy or sustain our soul with anything else other than the scriptures. Let's not look to anything else. Next, am I exercising the obedience of faith empowered by the gospel? Am I not just hearing, but am I obeying? I love Romans 1:5. We've seen grace, receive grace and apostleship to bring about, here's the phrase, the obedience of faith. We love the gospel, we love faith, but there's an obedience tethered to it that's empowered by the gospel. So let's exercise the obedience of faith. Next, do I have gospel joy in Jesus that is rooted in the scriptures and is consistently expressed through praise? So gospel joy, consistently expressed through praise. Do I love the choir of Remedy Church when we gather and we sing? A lot of times I just listen. But we should be praising the Lord together. We've said this before, it's a C.S. Lewis quote, but I want you to see it. I think we delight to praise what we enjoy, because the praise not merely expresses but completes the enjoyment. It is its appointed consummation. Praise completes joy. But think about all the things we're doing this to in a week. Our kids, our friends, our family, sports, pick your music, pick your thing. Are we praising the Lord, and is it deeply rooted in gospel joy? And then lastly, am I longing for the eternal joy of future glory? Is this light, momentary affliction preparing for us this eternal weight of glory? And as each day comes, I pray this is true of us no matter where we are in the age spectrum, that every day is one step closer to glory. And this is not our home. So may we look ahead to the future glory that's coming in the new heavens and the new earth. So may God lead us in his ways as we love and obey Jesus through the scriptures. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I thank you for what that means to our church family. I thank you for what that means to my family personally. We praise you for your steadfast love and faithfulness. Would we be reminded today, as the people of old, that you are good, that you are faithful, that your steadfast love endures forever. And may we say, oh, how we love your law. Your testimonies are the joy of our hearts. And King Jesus, our eyes are on you. Would you lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake? And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.